Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can catch me in any iTunes query at Michael Ryan's Audio Booze, and you can catch me on letsworshipjesus.com. So today's podcast is The Truth About Hell. Important thing. So I want to go right into prayer and we can start. Lord God, I ask for you to give me the wisdom, please, and that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and to allow this to make sense, God, and for this to be reasonable, and for that whoever is listening would be properly warned, Lord, and just encouraged, and God, that they would understand what the truth is, Lord, and not be deceived by lies that are out there, God. I ask that you would just show your love and your mercy through this message. In your name, I pray. Amen. All right, so the truth about hell. Something to talk about, because the reality is 10 out of 10 people die. It's a fact. And we don't have the luxury to come back to life and report what's true about the afterlife or what's not. But we have something even more sure, even more reliable than those who claim to have died and come back from the dead. We have God to tell us. And who better, right? He made hell. The Bible speaks clearly about it. In every testament, hell is discussed. The Bible continually warns of a place called hell. There are over 162 references in the New Testament alone which warns about hell. And over 70 of these references are spoken of by Jesus Christ himself. He alone made more references to an eternal place of torment than any other biblical figure. And it just shows and reaffirms to me how much he loves the people of this world, that he wants to warn everybody. It's not a coincidence. He came to protect and to rescue people from going to this place. He came to give life so that people could be aware of God and have a relationship with him. So as it stands, hell is a real place. And I'm going to do my best to teach you, to warn you about it, to give you the truth about it. So you won't be like the man that Jesus describes, and we'll talk about it in Luke 16, who is begging to be released from hell so he can warn his own family and friends. And if you already are a believer in Jesus Christ, let this message remind you of what our Master, the Messiah, foresaw and saved you from. And just bring it to your remembrance, that the reason why he went through what he went through, and this, that crucifixion, the suffering and the torment that he endured for you. So I got two main points to make about hell for the next several minutes. The first one is, it hurts and it lasts forever. You know, you hear people making jokes and speaking lightly about hell, and you know, it's almost like they say, I'd rather go to hell. I get to do whatever I want there. I get to not have to, you know, be the goody-goody and play by my rules. Everybody's going to have fun down there. And, you know, that's what the popular group, you know, or the people don't really take it seriously. But the Bible, and Jesus in particular, has a very different perspective of what it's like to be there. Matthew 13, 41, 42 says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Revelation, which is a book that explains what happens at the end, when everything comes together, what's the final day going to look like? It talks about even Satan himself, the judgment he's going to get. And guess what we learn here? That Satan and man, they get the same judgment. They go to the same place of punishment. Revelation 20, 10-15. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And furthermore, this goes on to talk about anyone else. Anyone else's name who was not found written in the book of life, he too was thrown in the lake of fire. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. So forget about the picture you have of hell being this place where you just do what you want to do. Satan's not there. Demons aren't there right now. It's just a place burning, and it's ready. It's ripe. And there are people in it already, as we're going to get to, that Jesus talks about in Luke 16, so that you and I can have a better understanding. But so far, it's forever. And it's painful. There's weeping. There's gnashing of teeth. There's people wailing and moaning. There's no rest. You're not relaxed. It's not an exit out of this world. Sometimes people are so overwhelmed by the world, they say, I don't care. I just want to commit suicide and just leave the world because there's so much pain. You don't know pain. No rest. no rest. Jesus gives us a real live experience, a real live experience of what hell is like. It can't get any realer than this. In Luke 16, Jesus describes in Hades, it says, describing a rich man who went to hell. Jesus says in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's what Jesus says in Luke 16. He says the rich man was in so much torment that he was begging for someone to come to him. Verse 24, Jesus says, that so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. That's the rich man speaking that Jesus is talking about as he's giving the story to the people around him that he's teaching. And here's the response that Jesus said was given to the rich man's request so that someone can come and dip the tip of his finger and cool off his tongue. Here's the response in verse 25. Child, remember that during your life you received good things, but now you are in agony. Now the rich man continues to ask if someone could be sent to advise his family. In verse 28, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them so that he will not lose, send someone so in order that they may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. So here you also see someone, a rich man, who, then you can read this story in Luke 16, read it in his fullness, a rich man who had everything he needed, but he did not fear God, went to hell and was in torment. He was able to reason. He was able to think. He was himself. He was able to be logical. He wanted to come back and to warn his family and his friends. He was shocked. He was surprised. You don't have to be. I'm telling you about this place right now. It's a real place. And the truth is, it's painful and it's forever. Jesus says in Mark 9:43, he pretty much says, it's better for you to lose a body part than for you to go into hell. That's how bad it is. I'll go and read it completely to you. Here's the torment, eternity of it. He really gets pretty emphatic with it here. Jesus in Mark 9:43-48, he says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast in hell where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Friend, it is eternal and it's painful. The Bible describes it as weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, darkness, flames, burning, torments, everlasting punishment, everlasting fire. It's a real place that's horrific. It's painful. It hurts. It's dark. It's lonely. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I do hope to sober you up and warn you that not only is it a real place, but as I said before, it lasts forever and it's torment. And people are there right now wishing they could tell you for themselves. As you understand, are you starting to get why Jesus came to earth to save us? Do you understand why Jesus, what he's trying to protect us from? And every one of us deserves to be there. We need him. We need him as our rescuer. You can't save yourself from this. God can save you. And that goes to the second part. The second point of this is who goes to hell? Who goes to hell? Everybody? Somebody? Some people? People who go to church on Sundays, they don't? People who miss church? Who goes to hell? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. What does the truth say? Again, this is short because I only have so much time in this podcast. But this is really the truth and all you really need. But Ezekiel 18:20, anyone who sins. It says in 18:20 in Ezekiel, the soul who sins shall die. So the question of who goes to hell? Anyone who sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Jesus says in Revelation 21:8, the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. See, there's a problem, you see. There's a big problem. Because every single human being has sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. 1 John 1-10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So the issue is God has already declared two things, that every human being has sinned, and the wage of that sin is death. But the problem is that we don't see that. You know, you go talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, are you a good person? Oh, sure, I'm a good person. You know, I mean, I'm pretty nice. I haven't gotten any trouble. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, I've done some things wrong, but I'm pretty okay. Well, because what are they doing? At that moment, they're making goodness compared to their standard. But God has a standard. See, we ignore his standard. You think that, you know, if you have good intentions, you're a good person. You know, we think that the quote-unquote small sins we do, we offend God with, he'll overlook them and focus on the big picture. So what we're doing is we make God in our own image, in our own likeness. And that's exactly how we end up like the rich man in torment. And we don't know why. And we're begging to get out. And we're begging to warn people. But it doesn't have to be that way. God has a standard, and each of us has broken his rules. You have broken it. We've enjoyed breaking it. We've encouraged others to break it. We broke them all day long. And you have to break only one of them to be guilty of breaking the whole thing. It only takes one crime to be a criminal. You only have to break one law to be a lawbreaker. So here's a test for you. Have you ever lied? Ever stolen? Ever dishonored your parents? Been envious of someone? Have you ever sexually lusted after someone other than your husband or wife? Have you ever cursed someone out or insulted them? Now, I'm just giving you the Ten Commandments. I haven't even gone through all of them. That's just several of them. But all you got to do is break one of those commandments at one time, and you're guilty of breaking the law. You're guilty before God of breaking it if all you do is mess it up once. And guess what? As soon as you die, you'll be confronted with it. As soon as you'll die, you'll be judged. Hebrews 9:27 says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. There's no reincarnation. There's no I come back as my favorite stuffed animal. There is death and immediate judgment. Immediate judgment. Every day people are finding out the truth of God. Every day people are finding out that this world is more than TV, than riches, than degrees, than job opportunities, than just having fun with your family and living your life the way you want to. Every day people are coming to realize, oh my goodness, I was created. I have a creator that's pissed off, that wanted me to accept that they made a way out, but I rejected it. Every day people are coming to that realization. It doesn't matter what the quality of your life is right now. If you're not forgiven, this is the only heaven you will ever get. And I'll say it again. I've got to say it again to you. It doesn't matter what the quality of your life is right now, good or bad. If you're not forgiven for your sins, this is the only heaven you will ever get. And it's not an intellectual issue. It's not a brain thing that I'm talking about. This isn't, you know, I need to get more schooling. It's a heart thing. Either you accept or you reject. And if you reject God, no matter how sweet your parents say you are, your partner says you are, or anyone says you are, God will reject you. But there's good news. There's good news. You don't have to go to hell. None of us do. None of us have to go. None of us have to get what we deserve. God offers us free mercy and free grace. Do you know, have you ever thought about the difference between mercy and grace? Do you know what the difference is? Let me tell you what the difference between mercy and grace is. Let's talk about mercy. Mercy is if I walk into my home and I see a teenage boy stealing my television set. I open the door. I ask him to leave. No 911. No pressing charges. No cops. He just leaves my TV and goes home. He deserved to have all those things happen, but I gave him mercy. Okay, that's mercy. And God offers you mercy by bearing your sins on the cross, so you don't have to have the penalty of hell. That's mercy. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is a sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the world. John 8:51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging we are healed. All of us are like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Mercy. You escape punishment, and Jesus Christ gets it for you. That's the mercy. That's it. You just don't get what you deserve. But what about grace? So let's go back. Grace is when I walk into my apartment, I see a teenage boy stealing my TV, and I stop him, and I offer him my laptop, my iPad. I declare that everything that I have is his. I adopt him as my son. I entitle him. I treat him like he is my blood. Everything that I have to offer, everything that I have, that I am, is now his. That is grace. That is what God offers you. He doesn't just give you a free pass from hell, but he gives you abundant life. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Titus 3:1 through 6, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Ephesians 1, 3-8, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us." Ephesians 2, verse 1, 3 through 9, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, among whom also we also conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." You have been given the utmost mercy, the utmost grace. Salvation is a free gift to us, but it's not cheap. I encourage you, if you're listening to this message and you understand what was said and you have not yet accepted that Jesus hung on the cross and rose again specifically for your sins, repent, turn around, be alive to God, ask God to come inside your heart right now and be born again. Ask to be forgiven and he will forever forget your sins. Send me an email, a message if you'd like me to pray with you about this. But today is the day. Today is the day to be a new person. Don't wait on this. In the world, people prepare for a hurricane or a storm when they know what's coming. They go to the supermarkets and they get the water and the canned foods. How much more your eternity? How much more Judgment Day? You only get one shot. And this is your opportunity now. And if you have accepted Christ, I ask you, pray for those listening. Consider what the Lord has done for you. Consider the mercy and grace he's shown you. And if there's anyone that you have conflict with, make peace with them. Make peace with them. Forgive. Forgive that person that's wronged you. Love. Love. And love more. How could we receive such a gift that we don't deserve and hold bitterness? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. But when you remember what he's done for us, it says in Romans 5 that a person would scarcely die for a righteous man and even dare to die for just a good man. But God shows his love and that he died for us while we were his enemy. That's why Jesus says to love your enemies. He's just not trying to give us a burden. He's saying it because that's what I did for you. So I encourage you to do that. I really do. Lord, I just ask that you would
Jesus, that you'd be just praying for anyone who heard this message, that they would get saved or they'd be encouraged, Lord, and come to know you and to not be deceived any longer, to be a new person, Lord. Now is the time. You're real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Mercy is real. Love is real. Loving God is real. So I pray that anyone listening will come to know that. Please use this message for your glory, and don't let it return to you void. In your name, amen.